This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
Let's roll, baby. Welcome in. It is a Thursday edition of East Coast Bias. The boys are back, ready to rock and roll now that the college basketball season has come to a close. The NBA has its final week of regular season games. We'll have a play-in next week. We'll have a better idea for what the playoff picture is going to look like. I can't wait for that. I know Joe House has spent 10 zillion hours breaking down all there is to know about this year's Masters Tournament as I welcome in Joe House, Raheem Palmer, Josh Ostrowski right here on, of course, FanDuel TV, Ringer Gambling Show, all that good stuff. House, you must feel like you've done all your cramming. It's like the final exam is here. Are you liberated now that you've done 10 zillion Masters hits and now you could just sit back and watch the golf tournament?
I am ready to watch some golf. Unfortunately, I might have to wait a little longer than anticipated because there's bad weather going through Augusta, Georgia. But the moment is sweet. It's a beautiful April that's upon us with all of these wonderful sporting adventures for us to go gamble on, Dream. Let's get some money going here.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. We got the NBA playoffs. We got MLB. We even got some boxing coming in a couple of weeks. We got some big fights. So it's a very exciting time to be a sports bettor.
Raheem, before we get into putting a nice little bow on what we witnessed last weekend as far as the college basketball is concerned, is there an event for you? For House, obviously, with all of the golf stuff that he does, it's his baby. It's kind of near and dear in his heart, where it's like this 3-4 day buildup of picks and, you know, it's like everything all encompassing into one. Is there one specifically for you, Raheem, whether it's like week one NFL, where like you feel like you're looking at this material for so many days where you're kind of like getting sick and tired of it? Is there one event that kind of gets you like that every year?
I'd say it's two. It's probably a tie between the first weekend of the NBA postseason, because those days, Saturday and Sunday, I mean, you're just waiting for them. It's just so exciting. There's games all day. And then it's week one NFL, because those lines are out for months and months and months. And then obviously you have injuries, you have cuts, you have new additions. So things change. And by the time you get to that Sunday for week one, you're like, oh, shoot, there's nothing else to bet. And then you end up adding 3-4 other bets. So it's definitely those two.
Yeah, for me, House, week one kind of fits the mold with that, you know, because you have had these Masters odds. I mean, they've had them up on FanDuel now for months. I'm sure they have been incorporated into the golf podcast that you've done. I'm with Dream on that. That correlation of having months upon months of background and the NFL week one, you kind of are in the same boat. Do you feel that comparison?
It's a great comparison, right? Because, yeah, I've been looking at both major odds and specifically Masters odds for months, and the prices change. Like, unlike the football, where the lines, you know, as soon as the lines come out, you don't see huge variance because the books all wait until free agency's done, until the draft is done, and then they start pumping out the lines. With the golf, you know, guys, if they're out of form, the number starts to go up. I mean, Justin Thomas, who at the beginning of this year was probably in the 25-1 range, is on the FanDuel Sportsbook at better than 50-1 to win this golf tournament, because he's the appearance is that he's a little out of form and that he just broke up with his caddy. So for sure, that's a great comparison of like the onset of the NFL season and the onset really of the golf season with this Masters. But I'm just so ready to get it on, JJ. Let's just get it on.
You and me both. And a little bit later on in the show, I will unveil part of my betting card. And I will either get the seal of approval from one Joe House, or maybe Joe House will take all of this research and homework and all these facts, and he has the analytics guys on, and maybe he can shift my opinion a different way to a couple of the futures I've already fired on when it comes to FanDuel Sportsbook. But, you know, guys, over the course of the last few days, we just witnessed yet another dominant run by now, I think we can say, an all-time team in the UConn Huskies. I know it was two different iterations. It was two totally different teams. But Raheem, we hadn't seen anybody go back-to-back since Billy Donovan, Al Horford, Corey Brewer, and Joakim Noah. Dude, they covered every game and won every game going away. Like, we talked about it on our Monday pod. I understood the case that Sharps were making for Purdue. Raheem, at the end of the day, I was like, I'm sick and tired of betting against this team. Let me see him not cover a game. Let me see him lose a game before I'm going to pick against them. Dude, we're going to be talking about these back-to-back UConn runs for like 20 or 30 years as far as dominance is concerned. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, I mean, when you can hold like a Purdue offense that was fourth in the nation in offensive rating to 98 points per 100 possessions, and you watch that game, and Zach Edey, he had 37 points, and nobody else did anything. So, like, that tells you how dominant this UConn team was. They won by 15 points, and it felt like, you know, they didn't press the gas in this, like, towards the end of that game. Like, it could have been worse. So if you look at some of the freshmen coming in, this might not be done here. They could three-peat. They could, you know, they could be a dynasty in, you know, in the way that some of, you know, the old UCLA teams were. So Dan Hurley has truly built something special over there in UConn.
House, it's outrageous. And I don't know what their team is going to look like next year. There's obviously so much volatility in college basketball. Klingon's going to go to the NBA draft. We'll see if Castle ends up going to the NBA draft. But they now have this sort of pedigree where until you see somebody beat them, I almost feel as if no matter what kind of year UConn is having, we have to put in the memory banks come March. Hey, they get in the tournament, they win games in the tournament, and they're back-to-back champs. Till somebody takes that away from them, dude, make sure I don't put any money against the Huskies. You know
what
I mean?
They did establish that they were one of the two best teams in the country over the course of the regular season coming into this tournament. So we really had to go through some gymnastics to come up with a rationale, with a narrative to fade UConn. Thankfully, on the eve of this game, on Monday night, I just jumped in and said, I'm not going to miss out on this opportunity. This team has shown us who they are. They go beat everybody by double digits. I played them on the number. I played them on the money line. And thankfully, the three of us, were all over the notion of an under, which cashed easily. I mean, Dream had that forecast, that model all the way down in the very low 140s, and he was absolutely on the money. I hope that everybody cashed on at least the under, but I got it covered every which way, because what was the rationale for getting in the way of history? You had to invent something. The magic of this UConn team was their ability to win a whole variety of ways. It set them apart from the rest of college basketball. They let Edey have his, and it didn't make one iota of a difference. They took away the three-pointer, and Matt Painter and Purdue were like, you know, we got to give it to them. We didn't know that was possible, but they did it to us. So on the right side of history, hopefully everybody was there on the right side with their bankroll as well, JJ.
Well, it was nice to finally cash in these last couple of games on UConn. But in general, and you guys know this, I love the NCAA tournament. I'm a sucker for it every year. I get into it. The 4 days kicking off the tournament, then the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight, on and on we go. Raheem, it's not even close, dude. This is and I'm not just saying this because of my bankroll and because of the fact that I had a lackluster performance in maybe handicapping a bunch of these games. But it was a boring tournament. It was a chalky tournament. You did not have your classic buzzer beaters. You didn't have your great finishes. I'm going to look back on this tournament and say it was one of the most pedestrian snooze fests I've seen. Forget about quality of play, guys. That's not even the argument. I'm not even going to quality of play route. I'm talking about exciting finishes. I'm talking about drama, intrigue. You have it. You had none of it because UConn took it all away.
Not even just UConn took it all away. I mean, it was just blowouts every single game. There weren't competitive games at all. And at the end of the day, March Madness is about competitive games. It's about upsets. It's about seeing just the unthinkable. And we did not see that. Like, we got, obviously, NC State was the Cinderella. But even in the games in which they won, all of them were blowouts. So it just wasn't a competitive and it wasn't a fun tournament. So maybe next year.
House, can you think of a more boring tournament than this year? I can't think of one off the top of my head.
No.
I really can't.
Just because of the sustained dominance of UConn and the fact that all of the really exciting games, we had overtime games with Creighton and Oakland. That was first weekend. And we had overtime with Oregon and
you nailed it. Oregon,
yeah,
Creighton.
Yeah. NC State and Oakland, right? That went overtime also.
That was a good game.
That was fun. Yeah, that was a great game.
The two best games of the
tournament.
It feels
like it was months ago. You know what I mean?
Well, no doubt. Listen, let's be honest. The best game I saw in March Madness was Iowa-UConn on the ladies' side. Not close. Yes. To me, that was the most entertaining. That was the most back and forth. It was the most compelling watch out of anything I saw over the last 3 weeks. And credit the ladies. They had a very fantastic couple weeks. They did great from a ratings standpoint. Iowa won, didn't cover against UConn. And Hal says, you know, everybody was going to bet Iowa in that game against South Carolina. The size, the undefeated presence and prowess of Dawn Staley's team, too much to handle. So UConn and South Carolina in the men's and the women's are your national champions. Congrats to them. And we now can maybe find some value in next year's NCAA tournament winner. I should just blindly go and bet UConn now. Why, Raheem, last year they were giving you 20-1 on UConn because they lost guys to the NBA. Boy, did I drop the ball by not taking that. Just saying, dude. Just saying.
Yes. I mean, honestly, what is their number this year?
It is, I can tell you this, it's not going to be as good.
It's 13-1 right now on FanDuel Sportsbook.
Tell you this. You're not going to get 13-1 unless they get off to a rotten start and things are not going their way. You will be paying a UConn tax no matter what happens next year.
Who's favorite right now on FanDuel Sportsbook. Duke is bringing Cooper Flag. And, I mean, he's probably going to be the best college basketball player that we've seen since Kevin Durant because he is that good. I'm excited to see him.
House is clearly enthused on the idea of Duke being the number one team. And Boeheim told me when it comes to Flag, real deal, top notch, like buckle up. So that will be a storyline that captures our imagination at this point next year.
I got a hot take. He's going to save the NBA.
Does
the NBA need saving?
Not that it needs saving, but he's going to be one of the biggest NBA stars.
Ooh.
He is legit.
Ooh, okay. On that note, we will transition to what we have coming up in the NBA over the final week of the year. A whole lot of uncertainty in the East. The Lakers, they saw Draymond Green hit three after three after three last night. I mean, if you had that on your bingo card, you're a lot richer than I am. We'll set the stage for what to watch for over the next few days. East Coast Bias Boys coming right back. Bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel every Thursday with TNT Thursdays. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll get bonus bets back if your same-game parlay doesn't win on any NBA on TNT game. NBA same-game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance to score a bigger payday. So we'll have an East Coast Bias SGP. Pelicans, Kings, who want to check that out. I might be getting involved with one of my own for the Knicks involving Jalen Brunson. Maybe I'll go and take DiVincenzo or Bogdanovich to hit it to a 3-2 and catch that one as they take on a Celtic team that doesn't have a whole lot to play for. However you want to play, just head to FanDuel.com/gamblers to bet the NBA with a no-sweat same-game parlay with TNT Thursdays. That's FanDuel.com/gamblers. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rghelp.com. Min 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Max refund $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. All right, boys, let's turn our attention to the NBA. Bucks were in a position they needed a win yesterday. They get it done against the Celtic team that, let's be honest, doesn't have a whole lot to play for over the next few games. And that's a narrative we'll have later on tonight, as the Knicks have a whole lot to play for as far as seeding is concerned. Celtics, you know, it's maybe how they want the playoff picture to look. I don't even think they can orchestrate that, though, because it's just so insane between 2, 3, 4, and 5. Looks like Indiana is going to be the 6, even though the Philadelphia 76ers are red hot and they don't lose. Looks like we might be on that collision course for a Philly-Miami 7-8 game, which I think is a number 2 seed's worst nightmare, whoever ends up winning that game. But Raheem, as we get ready for these next few days, what was the storyline on Tuesday? You know, there were a whole lot of games played. Bucks beating the Celtics, I don't think it has anything to do with the Bucks. I think it has everything to do with the Celtics and where they're at this point in the year. Warriors winning a game against the Laker team that you thought maybe would get out of the play-in. Doesn't look like that's going to be the case. But if there was something that kind of stood out to you from that loaded slate of Tuesday action, what would it be?
It's that you can't really trust this Suns team. Like, you're talking about a Suns team who, and by the time you guys are watching this, they're already going to play their second game against the Clippers. But on Tuesday night, this team was down 37-10 at home against the Clippers. 2 of 19 in the first quarter, down 37 points in the second half. And I know they came back, but I cannot trust this Suns team. I don't know what they are. And you have Kevin Durant, you have Devin Booker, you have Bradley Beal, but they completely piss over themselves anytime you expect them to step up. And so I just don't trust this Suns team. That's the story for me.
That's your takeaway. House, so a loaded card of games on Tuesday. Was there something that stood out to you from watching?
Well, for me, it's a team that I have been fading and prepared to fade, and I have to change my tune, and that is the Golden State Warriors, who, when we wake up on this morning and look at the book, I think it's going to be right around +106, even money, for the Warriors to make the playoffs, which seemed completely out of the question. Now, they caught the Lakers at a good time because Anthony Davis had to sit, but the Warriors, what they have left on their dance card is the Blazers, the Pelicans, and the Jazz. And so it seems they're still only a half game behind the Lakers for 9th, and you know they're still within shouting distance of the Kings for 8th. But of the teams that are in the play-in, the team that looks best positioned, best suited to actually, you know, get to the playoffs and do something is the Golden State Warriors. And I can't believe I'm saying it.
That is hard for me to believe, considering how down you have been on Golden State throughout this entire season. But Golden State has played much better. They have put themselves in a position to be in position. And I know the NBA is rooting like crazy to have the Lakers and the Warriors being a part of this postseason tournament. So maybe that's a little food for thought as we find our way into next week. I'm always a sucker for a good conspiracy theory. You know, Raheem, just thinking about the East, though, and the way it shakes out, you really want to be in the Eastern Conference, the 3 seed. Like, outside of the Celtics being a 1, but to me, the Pacers win one more game. They have the tiebreaker over Philadelphia. They're gonna be the matchup.
Yeah,
I'd much rather play Indiana, sacrifice home court in the second round. And I also know, hey, guess what? I don't have to worry about seeing the Celtics until the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, selfishly for me as a Knicks guy, I'm like looking at the next few games and I say, okay, they have Boston coming up on Thursday. They have Brooklyn coming up at home, game they should win on Friday, Chicago game they should win on Sunday. But if they're in a spot where they win the next two, and they're guaranteed the 3. And hey, if you win Sunday, you're the 2. No. That's where I'll say, hey, you could go see the G League roster final game of the year. I will position myself to play Indiana over those two dangerous teams in the play-in. It's weird how it works out like that, right?
And see, it's not just Indiana, because when you look at how those teams are bunched up, you got the Orlando Magic, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Indiana Pacers. They're all a half game. They're pretty much right there together. So I would want to play either three of those teams over Philadelphia or Miami, because Orlando just doesn't have the pedigree. This is their first year in the postseason. Cleveland Cavaliers, they're on a total tailspin. Obviously, we're taping this on Wednesday, but before Wednesday night's games, they were 3-7 in their last 10. And in the Indiana Pacers, they're just not as good as Philadelphia or Miami. So if you can get into that three seed and you play whoever lands in the six, I think you're in good position. But the one thing I will say is that I'm not really a big fan of teams tanking down the stretch, trying to get specific matchups. I think you just have to win, and whoever you play, because the basketball gods will not reward that.
Interesting. House, are you starting to sing a different tune with Philly? I know you just gave a little mea culpa to the Warriors. Philly is hot as anyone right now. And Embiid has come back off this injury. And give credit where credit is due. He has played his rear end off. He's been fantastic. He's been posting numbers and seems to have a whole lot of life in that beaten down body of his. Are we starting to reconsider on the Sixers or not particularly?
Well, the crazy thing is with this injury to Giannis Antetokounmpo, to the Greek freak, all of a sudden, whoever gets the seven seed gets the damaged Bucks in the first round of the playoffs. I'm mad because we're being deprived of an opportunity to gamble against the Bucks at a great price. You're not going to get any value gambling against the Bucks in the first round. I wouldn't be shocked if the Sixers, if it ends up being the Sixers in the seven seed and the Bucks at the two, that the Sixers are favored. Now, it is possible yet for Orlando to jump over Milwaukee. Milwaukee still has two games against the Magic, and the Magic are not doing anything but trying to play hard all the way through here. The Sixers have two games left on their schedule. It's just the Magic at home and the Nets at home. The Nets at home is a win, no two ways about it. If they handle their business against the Magic, I like Philly positioning wise to perhaps get into that seven seed.
So I like Philly, but I got to push back on that house. Like, Philly will not be favorites in the series
against the right Bucks now, without Giannis.
Well, Giannis figuring you're going to get Giannis back at some point in that series.
He's going to be there for the start of that series. They're saying a calf strain.
I think so.
I don't know. That's up in the air. I'm worried about it.
If you look right now on FanDuel Sportsbook, the Milwaukee Bucks are still plus 550 to win the Eastern Conference, second behind the Boston Celtics.
I think those odds are way too low. But
the bookmakers are still pricing it as if he's going to be back.
Fair. Totally fair. One thing I would say, Giannis probably is going to be back for the postseason. Oddsmakers indicate as such. These last few games of the regular season, though, that's where you're probably not going to see Giannis. House, you may not have that 2-7 matchup that we're talking about. You may have Milwaukee playing Cleveland in a 4-5.
True story.
It's possible.
Very possible. It is. That's exactly right. That's what these next three games are going to figure out for us.
I want to read to you guys, because, listen, I think we're all of the mindset that we're probably on a collision course for Denver and for Boston. Those look like the two best teams in the league. They are the most complete teams in the league, and the odds makers clearly feel, from a favorite perspective, that's the way it should be. Boston's at plus 165 to win the title. The Nuggets are at plus 320 to win the title. House, I give you a bunch of these odds. If you could fire in on any of these. Clippers, plus 850. Bucks, 12-1. Thunder, 15-1. Timberwolves, 17-1. Suns, 20-1. Sixers, 21-1. Dallas, 26-1. Miami, the Knicks at 39-1. Cleveland 42-1, Warriors 48-1, Lakers 55-1.
This is to win the NBA title?
To win the whole thing. If you want to have fun, give me somebody to go on a ride with. That's basically what I'm looking for.
Dallas, the Dallas Mavericks. What was that price? 26-1?
Dallas, 26-1.
Yeah, that's the only one that catches my attention. And that's because they have the formula, right? When you look at a recipe for a team that could go on a postseason run, they check the boxes. They have what seems to be a defensive identity now with a lot of rim protection and the ability to get out and defend on the perimeter. But the most important thing is guys that can score the ball with 4 minutes left in the basketball game. And they got two of them, two of the very best, which is not a coincidence that they are where they are in terms of the clutch numbers. They have the best clutch record in the entire NBA. And now, with those two guys, they can play a variety of different ways. They can slow down and grind it out. And if those possessions at the end of game become clinchy kind of possessions, I like the ball in those in the hands of either one of those guys. And the same is true if they want to get out and go at some pace. I think they could play a pace, especially with Kyrie and the kind of rim running identity that they have in place with my guy Gafford and with Lively. I'm telling you, Dallas at that number has my attention a little bit.
Interesting. Raheem, that board outside of the big two, if there's one that maybe think about.
See, this is why I love House, because we're always on the same page. Like, literally always on the same page.
You guys are big on Dallas, huh? You guys are big on Dallas.
See, I had two, but see, Philadelphia was 31-1, and it's down
so 21-1. So you feel like you missed the number on Philly. Interesting. Okay.
I mean, I said Philly
you
last
did.
Week.
You
so
did.
You did.
Right now, if we're looking at the board, it's Dallas 26-1. And House already spoke about how they have two guys who can, they can shoot you, they can crush you in the clutch. Kyrie and Luka Doncic, their chemistry is just, it's out of this world at this point in time. And there's not too many teams other than, say, Denver or, like, really Denver or the Milwaukee Bucks who I would put up against them in the clutch. And Milwaukee can't stop anybody. So, to me, this Dallas team, with their defense, if you look at what they've done since the All-Star break, I think they're top five and top 10 in defensive rating since the All-Star break. So, if you could defend and you have Luka and you have Kyrie, who have both proven if they step up their games in the postseason when it matters, that number is way too high. I think Dallas is probably, if I'm looking at the league in totality, Dallas is probably the fourth best team in the league.
Wow. And listen, they're a much better defensive team than they've been. The trades at the deadline made a difference. There's no doubt. And hey, I haven't been his biggest fan. I got to give credit where credit is due. Kyrie Irving this year has not been a problem. He's played basketball. He's played basketball at a high level, and he's been fun. I can't believe I'm saying that because I haven't exactly been his biggest fan over the last few years. But, hey, give credit where credit is due. Do you think, Raheem, that if we get a Philly-Miami playing next week, will the odds drop dramatically for that winner, knowing that they'll avoid Boston until the Eastern Conference Finals? I got to think yes, right?
I can see that, but I think they still have to price in the fact that they're in the play-in. So I think that's the difficult thing.
So you don't think it would drop that dramatically for like a Philly or a Miami? You still are going to be in similar ballpark.
After they win, yes, but beforehand, no.
And we talked about this on Monday's show. Philadelphia has had a lot of success with the Heat over their last couple of regular season games. So that's one house. Like, when I think about playing matchups that I'm looking forward to the most, that's a tremendous, tremendous game to kick off the playing, man, Philly and Miami. I will be into
it's,
that game.
It's absolutely amazing. I was trying to find a way. The Bulls are sitting there at plus 440. I'm trying to come up with a narrative for the Bulls. You know, the Bulls are interesting only because they play up to competition or down to competition. They're Jekyll and Hyde. And it's only one game, but I just can't get there. I was trying to come up with a value proposition for the Bulls, Dream. I can't get there.
Here's the proposition for the Bulls. The Bulls are the second best clutch team in the NBA this season behind like the Denver Nuggets. They're like 25-16 in the clutch. If they have a game where it's close within the last 5 minutes.
Keep it close down to the wire.
DeMar DeRozan and Kobe White are probably going to win that game. So that's the case for them. But I'm going to save my thoughts for, like, their playing game for next week.
I can't wait till we get a Heat-Bulls rematch from last year in the play-in. And Miami will pull the game out by the hair of their chinny-chin-chins and then go all the way to the NBA Finals like they did last year. You know, like, I still see that number. And it's not as eye-popping as maybe I thought it was going to be because they're having another mediocre regular year. But House, listen, it's kind of like that UConn bet. You know, it's looming. We're not going to be surprised if it happens. I know
no,
I'm not.
No. We have to pay respect. Pay respect. Genuflect.
Speaking of paying some respects, when we come back, I have a bunch of bets that I want to run at our buddy Joe House. Maybe I'll even get Raheem to hop in on one of these two for this week's Masters tournament. Remember, House has done nothing but prep and research this tournament. He's done countless podcasts. He's been a guest on other people's programs. He's got his Masters green gear. He's got the hat on. He's dressed for success. Hopefully, his quality appearance will help my picks. We'll run through them. That's coming up right after this. All right, boys, Masters time. House, they have the odds right now, up to the minute, to win this year's tournament. Scheffler, who is the machine, if he putts, he's going to win. He's a heavy favorite. He's 4-1, or plus 400. I got to make sure I have that right. Plus 400 for Scheffler. Rory, I think, is way too low. I there's no way in the world I'd play Rory at 10-1. I'm sorry, I can't do it. Rom, coming over from Liv, won the tournament last year. He's at 11-1. Schauffele at 14-1, Brooks at 18-1, Matsuyama at 20-1, Spieth 22-1, Neiman 28-1, Hovland 35-1, Wyndham Clark at 40-1. Let's start here. Scheffler, I feel like betting him at that number, it's not worth it. There's no value. I know he's the best. I know he's as good a ball striker as there is on the tour. Is it better, in your opinion, for somebody like me to go and play Scheffler top five, top 10, even if I got to go and lay a little juice there? I just feel like to win the thing, man, to get him at 400, 500, I feel like I'm getting no bang for my buck.
I don't think you're wrong. And the territory at which he's priced is rarefied air. Only Tiger at these prices, Tiger in 2009, Tiger in 2013, that's where you get this class of odds. And I have no problem at all playing Scotty in every category, top five, top 10, top 20, finishing position wise. It's just how much juice you're willing to lay. The only observation that I will make is if he comes out and shoots 69 in his first round and anything around or under par in his second round, this is the best price you're going to get him at. You won't be able to live bet him. The only way you're going to get better odds live betting Scottie Scheffler is if he bogeys the first hole and that number goes up for whatever reason. But otherwise, this could be the best number that you get Scheffler over the entire course of the tournament. So that's the only sort of instruction that I'll offer. But playing him top five, top 10, top 20, that's all fine. All he does is go collect top fives in every major that he plays in.
That's going to be my plan. And I get your point. He comes out and birdies the first hole, or he has a big day on Thursday or Friday. I'm in a little bit of trouble if I want to take him to win the tournament. Now, Raheem, what I like doing with these golf tournaments is I identify guys I like. I bet them to win a little bit. Bet them top five. Bet them top 10. And then I get involved with matchups where all of a sudden I feel good about a particular matchup, whether it's for a day, whether it's over the course of 4 days, and I kind of go from there. House, Matsuyama. 20-1. He's won it before. He's played well this year. In on Matsuyama. I'm also sprinkling him top five, top 10. And I'm going to fire on a matchup or two that makes sense. Where do we stand on Matsuyama?
Well, I'm on record on this very channel or on the Fairway Row. One of these channels, he's my pick to win the Masters.
So he is the pick. We're riding together on that one with Decky. Well, okay.
Mainly because of how attractive he is price-wise, but he checks really every box. He, for sure, in terms of his advanced analytics, you know, his ability, strokes gained, approach, and that kind of thing, but also the fact that he's won before, and also the fact that he won at Riviera this year earlier. There's a strong corollary between performing well in the Genesis Open at Riviera and performing well at the Masters. He has a whole string of top 25 performances at the Masters. The only thing that's held him back has been health. And for knock on wood, we haven't heard any of the neck issues and none of the back issues that have been a limiting factor in years past. So Hideki at 20-1, I think, is a perfectly fine way to play the market. I have him in top fives, top tens, top 20s also.
And you talked about this with Raheem and I the other day, because I like Wyndham Clark a lot. He's played well this year. He's got some stones, but he's never played this tournament before. So from that standpoint, you don't like the idea of betting someone to win a tournament if they haven't played it before just because of the lack of knowledge with the terrain?
It's only this tournament. This tournament, nobody, a debutante hasn't won since 1979, since Fuzzy Zeller. That's the last time a guy showed up for the first time. Now, this is worth considering because it's never been the case that a player ranked as highly as Wyndham Clark has arrived at Augusta National. He's the fourth ranked player in the world right now. That is by far the highest ranking of any debutante. The other guy that goes alongside him in terms of a very high ranking and having his first time is Ludvig Åberg, the Swede, who is another guy just arrived on tour, won very early, and also checks all these boxes in terms of advanced analytics. But Wyndham Clark, you know, I like him in the top five, the top 10, the top 20. You just have to, you know, be prepared because it's extremely unlikely for a rookie to come in and win at Augusta National.
Raheem, they got 10 zillion FanDuel Ringer specials on the page. If you go to the tab, there's so many good ones. House mentioned the minus 180 for the tournament hole-in-one on number 16. That's one I'll be laying the juice on. I think we get that over the next 4 days. House, I love this one. I love this one. Cam Smith to finish in the top 20. And the fat man, Patrick Reed, who always plays well at Augusta. Like, Raheem, you got to take guys that always play well at this tournament because they always show up and they always bring it and they're just comfortable there. Dude, I could get Smith top 20 and Reed top 30 at plus 300, House. I love
that. Well, you take that, and you have to remember, well, the way we're offering it on the Ringer specials on the FanDuel Masters page is with a 30% profit boost. So if you like that, you take those odds and you boost it up another 30%. But you hit the nail on the head. And, you know, the both those guys are playing on the LIV Tour right now, so folks haven't seen them. They're not in the front of people's, like, sort of eyes as obvious choices, but both those guys have very distinguished. Obviously, Patrick Reed won in 2018. This is my Patrick Reed 2018 Masters hat. And then Cam Smith is always sniffing around top five, top 10 at the Masters. So that's one of the reasons why we like that combo.
Okay, so you know I'm on Matsuyama. You know I'm on Koepka. I hate that everybody's betting Koepka. That scares me because he's becoming way too trendy, way too vogue, but he loves playing in these majors. He loves bringing it, so I'm in on him. You talked me out of Hovland because he's played terribly this year, so I'm glad I'm not going in that direction. The other guy I wanted to throw in there, the Irish Bear. House, 55-1 on Shane Lowry. That's juicy,
so
dude.
He's in vogue this week. You've heard his name a lot on a lot of different podcasts and other media platforms, and folks are writing about Shane Lowry because he arrives in form. He played very well as part of the Florida swing at challenging golf courses under challenging conditions, but he has the championship vintage. He won the British Open a couple of years ago. He had a third place finish in the last 2 years at this tournament, and he has a lot of those key attributes in terms of what you want in a potential winner. You know, if you're looking at the way lots of folks like to play the Masters is to establish, you know, here are the common sort of threads. Here are the 6 or 8 or 10 different attributes that a guy who can win the Master, this is what they possess. And he possesses a bunch of them. His strokes gain approach, very good. Strokes gain around the green, he's good. Very good short gain. Good off the tee. Strokes gain tee to green. So a lot of boxes checked by Shane Lowry. At that price, it's a great speculative price for him.
Raheem?
Yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot here. This will be a little fun. Because you're a numbers guy.
Okay.
What do you think Tiger Woods is to make the cut?
Minus 126.
So I would have said minus 120 before I just looked. He's even money on FanDuel to make the cut. House, we haven't seen Tiger play. Can Tiger get through 4 days? Who the hell knows? But to get through 2 days, maybe recapture a little magic, I don't want to fade there, Raheem. I think we got to
bet. I
want to
fade him.
All right, so House, you break the tie. I want to bet him to make it. Raheem,
he missed
the
cut in four out of his last six starts.
Yeah, he can't play four rounds is the problem. But look, here's the thing, Dream.
But I only need him to play well.
Here's
in two.
Here's the thing.
With
that's right. Here's the thing. No, nobody has the DNA of this golf course captured in his soul more than Tiger Woods, but that's not the reason that I'm going to recommend making the investment in the even money bet. This is his opportunity to distinguish himself once again with a legacy hallmark accomplishment. And it's this. Right now, he is sitting at 24 consecutive cuts made. He's in a tie with Fred Couples and one other guy. If he makes the cut this year, he stands alone on consecutive cuts at the Masters, 25 consecutive cuts made if he does it this year. The one thing we know about Tiger, if there's an opportunity for him to enhance the legacy, he's always up to the moment. Even money, Tiger Woods, make the cut. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, I'm on it. And the other one I'm taking, House.
I love you guys, but I will take your action. Both of you guys.
Oh, okay.
Friendly bet.
Small bet for me.
Loser pays for dinner.
Yes.
East Coast Bias.
Love it.
We're in.
Yes.
Easy. Great. I like Phil to make the cut too, House. He plays well this. He played brilliantly last year at Augusta. I know I have a soft spot for the lefty. I'm betting him to make the cut too. Even
well,
money.
You're allowed to parlay that on the FanDuel Sportsbook if that's your inclination. You can parlay Tiger to make the cut and Phil to make the cut. Let's go into the combobulator and see what kind of price it was. You know, better than 2.5 to 1, better than it was like plus 260 for the two of them to make the cut. Let's see where it sits right now. Cause you know, a lot of people are looking back at last year with Phil and remember he shot 65 on Sunday.
The final day.
Yes.
I know.
Yes, that is not
274, by
that.
The way.
There
I just
you
pulled
go.
It up
plus
on the 274.
Well done.
That might have to be an East Coast Bias little
special. Well, Dream's
special.
Against
might
it. Dream's not, Dream won't go on that, but you and I, JJ.
That's a House JJ collaboration.
I mean, y'all can make a call. Y'all can make the OG call, and I'll ride with y'all, but I like to fade against human achievement, so.
I understand that. So, House, outside of Matsuyama, who are we betting to win this tournament? I gave a few names I like. I like Lowry. You really want to dig deep. Reed is like an 80-1, which to me is never a bad bet, and I'm not even opposed to rolling the dice on Wyndham Clark because I think he's playing that well. But outside of Matsuyama and the obvious and Scheffler,
right.
Give me another name you like.
I am one of the world's foremost Rory McIlroy truthers, and I'm not recommending.
He might be number one on the
list.
I'm
not saying
Jeez.
That you should invest in him at the price that he's sitting at right now, whatever it is, 9-1 or 10-1. I'm just saying I think he's going to win the golf tournament this year. I like him. If it's not Scheffler, then I like Rory. He has taken all the distractions of the previous couple of years, shed them. He's strictly business. His press conference yesterday started 10 minutes early, and he took 5 questions and got the heck out of there. He's not at the par 3 today. I mean, on Wednesday, Rory McIlroy is locked in. He's ready to just handle his golf business, which is what Augusta requires. That would be my choice.
This will be fun to look back on in a week. We'll see how many we got right. We'll see how many we like mulligans on. I like a lot of mulligans when I'm out on the golf course, especially these days. I need a lot of them. I need more than mulligans. I need prayers. I need thoughts. I need help. I need a coach. I need all of the above. But when we come back, we'll have some best bets for the Thursday card that you want to keep an eye on. We'll also take an early look at maybe some potential value in the baseball standings. A team that maybe a lot of people didn't know what to make of this team early on. They are cooking to start 2024. That's coming up right after this. All right, boys, it's way too early in the baseball season, as we know. I mean, it's freaking 12 games out of 162. I understand all that. But, Raheem, I don't think you had on your bingo card the Pittsburgh Pirates with the New York Yankees from a winning percentage standpoint, being atop the sport. Yankees, we talked about it at the beginning of the year. Favorites to win a division. Was that justified? Was it fair? Obviously, Jackson Holliday coming up for the Orioles. Can't wait to see what that kid's going to do. He's going to be a stud. But Yankees at 10-2, sustainable, not sustainable?
I'm going to say it's sustainable. Like, I just think they just have the bats. Now, obviously, I'm a little surprised that they're playing this well when you lose some of the pitchers that they lost. But, like, the way they're playing, it's like I have to buy on them. And I was high on them coming into the year anyway.
The Soto effect, it's real. It's spectacular, House. But if you're thinking about a buy low opportunity with the Yankee hot start, this might be a time if you like the Orioles, right? Maybe this is the time to go and fire on them before you see Jackson Holliday.
It's so early. There's so many games yet to play. I mean, do you get any value on the Orioles? To start the season, they were, what, the third-ranked team to win potentially the AL East? And I can't imagine the markets have changed.
Well, no, they were second. It was Yankees, Orioles. Okay. But they were one of the trendy and vogue picks, though, to go win the World Series. I mean, a lot of people high on the Orioles going into the
year. I think it's reasonable to be high on them, but I'm not betting them to win the World Series at this point. Let's let more than 10 games get under our belts.
But odds have moved a little bit. You like the Orioles to win the division. Just throwing this out there here on FanDuel Sportsbook. They're now at plus 290. At the beginning of the year, we were talking about the Yankees being in that 170 range, the Orioles being in that 200 range. I do think if you're going to bet on the Yankee age creeping in, and maybe they're an older team and they break down a little bit with injuries and the Orioles more likely to stay on the field, I don't hate that bet, Raheem, at plus 290 from a numbers standpoint on the Orioles.
I don't hate it either. And when you look at the Orioles, they're 6-4, but they have a better run differential than the Yankees, who are 10-2. And, you know, when you look at run differential and the Pythagorean expectation, it was created for baseball. And that tends to tell you, like, who is the better team. So I agree with you there. I think that's
Listen, I hope I'm wrong on it, but I'm telling you, that's a good number. I don't know if you're going to get plus 290 with the Orioles over the next few weeks. This schedule maybe eases up. Yankees lose a couple of games, and then it's kind of back in that even money type of proposition where it was just a few weeks ago. House, by the way, I will be down in late April for Yankees-Orioles, Monday, Tuesday, Camden Yards.
Oh, you need to send me those dates. Maybe we can get Dream to come down. It's not far from Philly to Baltimore.
And then we could watch some, dude, the game's at 6. And then we could go have some cocktails and watch some basketball.
Hopefully we're not paying on a dinner to Dream for, Tiger Woods missing the cut.
No, we don't want to be doing that. We want dinner courtesy of Mr. Dream, you know? But I'm just planting the seed here. That's what we do on East Coast Bias. When we come back, best bets Thursday. Let's get it. That's coming up. Okay, gang, before we say goodbye, best bets Thursday. You got some NBA action. Maybe you want to dabble with a Masters play. I'll give you an open forum for this, whatever you want to do. House, we have an SGP, by the way, a big one as far as the plan is concerned with New Orleans and Sacramento. The other big nationally televised game will be the Knicks, who need it in a big way at Boston. We'll see what kind of motivation there is for the Celtics. Thursday play, House, what do we like?
I am going to bite down hard on this Golden State Warriors to make the playoffs. Yes, proposition. Plus money for Golden State, and all the teams that are ahead of them are sucking wind and taking on water. Both the Suns, the Kings, and the Lakers, I don't like the direction they're headed. Golden State at plus money to make the playoffs. That's my best bet for this week.
Raheem, looking at Thursday and then thinking maybe down the road, you see any value here or no?
As far as like the futures, I don't see any value right now. If I had to take anything, I would take the Dallas Mavericks. Just taking a shot on them to win the NBA title. But I'm not playing anything as of right now. Obviously, we will have 100 pick later on in the day. Right now, we don't have the lines as we're recording this.
I will be taking the Knicks. I don't care what the number is. I'm telling you right now, they need the game. I think they'll be into it. I don't think the Celtics particularly care at this point in the year, nor should they. They're the one seed. Get the bodies right. We'll see you in a week and a half come playoff time. So I'll be rolling with that. And I'm parlaying the old men. The old men special. Tiger, Phil, we will see them on Saturday, and I will be cashing plus 270. That is how we wrap up an East Coast Bias show. For Raheem, House, great job all week, buddy. I know you've been in a lab. I know you've been grinding, so hopefully a little Masters and a little cocktail is coming your way. Good job, Stefan. I want to thank all the FanDuel TV folks. Great job by them as always. We'll be back next week, and the plane will almost be done. We'll have Saturday, Sunday games, at least most of them. We'll break it all down. Enjoy. Be good, everybody. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, Vermont, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700, or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts. Or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY in New York.